Matthew chapter 9. Indeed, I love my pastor. Indeed, we talk once a week, and if we don't talk, we're going to call each other and say, what's going on? What you preaching? He's a great, great mentor, a great friend, a great pastor. I love him dearly. I love him dearly. Matthew chapter 9. We all there? Be in the 35th verse this morning as we read the text. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of diseases and every kind of sickness, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And Jesus summoned the 12 in verse chapter 10 and gave them authority over unclean spirits and to cast them out to every kind of diseases and every kind of sickness. You may be seated. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. I want to talk this morning very briefly about help wanted. Help wanted. Help wanted. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you, God, for this privilege we have, Lord, to stand in this place. Now, God, I have no words to say unless you speak to me. I ask you right now, God, to hide me behind the cross. I pray, God, that it would not see me today, but see you. I pray, God, you would speak mightily to your people. Give them ears to hear and hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. Then, God, I ask right now, you let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Help wanted. As I search the church classifies, Pastor, as I look at Indeed, I look at Monster. The church is in need of workers. The church is in need of volunteers to do the work of the Lord. There is so much work that we need to do in this community. As we're in the midst of failing schools, and we're in the midst of crime, and there's a church on every corner. The church on every corner. God is calling the church to make a difference. I believe if God can use a few men to turn the world upside down, surely God can use us in this room to make a difference in the community. We have all the resources. We have all the resources to make a difference in this world. The Bible tells me when Jesus was ready to leave the earth, he told the disciples, greater works you shall do. So in other words, God has already given us the authority. God has already given us the land. All we got to do is possess it. So God has already given us everything we need to be successful. The reason why we can't make a difference because so many of us make excuses why we cannot do it. But there, we help is wanted. Help is wanted. I believe the church began to make a difference. If the church began to see things the way Jesus seen things, we began to look like Jesus looked at people in the situations, we began to make a difference. Because in verse number 35, they said Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every kind of sickness. In other words, Pastor, the church was healing, preaching, and teaching. Today's church doing so many other things that we're missing the main thing that God has called the church to do. We're called to preach and teach the word of God. Not make people 12 steps of this and 11 steps of this, but we're called to preach and teach the gospel. I believe when the church preach and teach the gospel that we make a difference in this community. So the first thing is Jesus had passion on the people. He had passion. He had passion and compassion. He was so burdened by people. My brothers and my sisters, are you burdened for the lost? Are you burdened for people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do your heart burn like Jesus burned when you see lost people? We just sung about it. No greater love. Christ loved you so much. He had passion on you before the foundations of the world. He came down through 42 generations to die on the cross for you. So Jesus had passion or compassion about you. He was passionate about the lost. So we should be passionate about the lost just like Jesus do. When we ride through the community of East Chattanooga, are we burnt? Are we hurt about the look of our community? We should. Are we burnt with the baptism pool is dry? Are we burnt that our church is not growing? Are we burnt that we're not making a difference? We ought to see things the way that Jesus did. The church needs to be teaching. We need to be preaching the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be doing the healing. We need to touch people. As we started out almost 20 years ago as a church, one of the first sermons we heard as a church is, can you touch a leper? And I just want to ask a question. Love, fellas, have we lost our identity? Have we lost our mission, what we were called to do? We were called to touch leper. We were called to touch unclean. We were called to touch sick people. We were not placed in this community for the well people. We were placed in this community for those who are sick and need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to see things the way Jesus sees things. We need to be burdened by people. Pastor. Stories told of Dwight Moody, the great evangelist, Elder Terman. They took him on top of the Sears Tower in Chicago, and they asked him, what did he see? One guy said, I just see a whole bunch of people. Moody said, I see a great harvest. When I ride through East Chattanooga, when I ride through East Lake, when I ride through Alton Park, I see a great harvest that needs to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went through all the cities and the villages teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel and healing every kind of diseases, every kind of sickness. But they said Jesus, what Jesus said, seeing the people, he felt compassion on them. They were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, Jesus was burdened by them, their condition. He was burdened by the condition of the people. That's how we should feel. We should be burdened by the people. We should be burdened by the way we see people. When I see our young men walking down the street, I'm burdened by that. When I see failing schools in our community, I'm burdened by that. When I see poverty, I'm burdened by that. The church is called to make a difference. When Jesus showed up on the scene, he made a difference. The church should be the same way. We should make a difference where we are. I said it again. We should make a difference where we are. He was moved. Are you moved? Are you distressed? Are you burdened about the lost? Help is wanted. Well, if we're going to make a difference, we got to get more people on the team. If we're going to make a difference, we got to get more people join the plan that we can make a difference where we are. Also is, and the text is, said he felt compassion on the people. But he said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So in other words, there's potential for work. The second thing is there's potential for work. There is potential for work. There's potential for work. There is potential for work. There is potential for work to do. We have a lot of vacancies in the church. We have a lot of vacancies. Now, we need workers for VBS. We need workers for the nursery. We need workers for children's church. We need workers in all types of ministry. We're going to make a difference. God has called the church to be a body. And if the church is a body, that means we got to have people being arms, legs, feet, toes, eyes. We need everybody serving their capacity. The reason why the church is not effective because so many people are trying to do, multiple hats. They're trying to wear multiple hats. And if God has called you to be an arm and you're trying to be a leg too, you're not operating efficiently. But if everybody step up to the plate, if everybody step up to the plate and do what God has called them to do, then the church can be effective. God has given everybody gifts and talents to serve in this vineyard. God has given all of us talents to do something for him, for his glory. So there's potential for work to do. But the problem is there's so many excuses. There's so many excuses in the church. Many of us like the man in the gospel. I'll serve you, Lord, but let me go bury my mom and dad first. Then I'll serve you. Oh, we got to get busy for the Lord. There's potential for work to do. Here in 2018, there's abundance of work that we need to do. We need to feel compassion. We need to feel compassion on the helpless and the hopeless. As we ride around East Chattanooga, We need to have compassion for the helpless and the hopeless. Just yesterday, I was in Big Lot, and I heard a cashier and another guy arguing about gas prices. And they was arguing about how the state of California is going to build houses for the homeless. And they were like, they don't need no houses. They let them sleep outside. That's not the way Jesus seen it. Jesus called for us to look out for the poor. Jesus called for us to look out for those who are down and out. It's a sorry with the evangelicals of the day. They feel like we don't need to look out for the poor. We're missing the whole mission of the church. We need to look out for the poor. We need to be a hand up to those who are down and out. Because if you look back at your own situation, you needed a hand up. God had to pick you up out of the dirt that you was in. There's potential for work to do. As I look at around our city, the work that needs to be done is not by, we're not asking Mayor Burke or Mayor Carpenter to fix the situation. We need the church to fix it. Just in this community alone, there's a church on every corner. There's a church on every corner. This ought to be one of the most safest places in Chattanooga. We in Churchville. We in Churchville. We should be making a difference right here in Churchville. 12 churches out of tearing this community upside down. We ought to be able to run the gang members up out of this community if we just can get together. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit will go with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit will be with us. We don't have to be afraid. As I look around the world, I see a lot of potential for work. As Jesus saw the condition of Jerusalem during his ministry, he felt compassion. He felt burden for them, but he saw the work. He saw the spiritual harvest that needs to be done, needs to be reached. Jesus was doing ministry and he was touching people. He was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. He was unstopping muted ears. He was calling the lame to walk. Jesus was doing real ministry. And that's what Jesus called us to do, real ministry. We're to go out and open up blinded eyes, Elder Terman. We're to go around and unstop muted ears. We're to do those things, the work of the ministry. I believe the work that we need to do is not brought to the better by making better jobs, better schools. I believe until we do things the way Jesus did, we will not make a difference. Before Jesus fixed a person, he met their spiritual condition. Before you can fix a person, you got to meet the physical need, the spiritual need of that person. We got to get down to the heart of the matter. We can give you all the tools to be successful, but until we deal with your heart, we will not change you. So there's potential for work to do in the church. There's a spiritual need. There's a spiritual need for this community. As Christians, we ought to want to go out and make a difference. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, meaning there's work to do in the kingdom. We're called to make a difference. He's commissioned all of us to go out and make a difference. He's commissioned all of us to go out and fulfill the Great Commission, not the Great Omission, but to fulfill the Great Commission. We're called to fulfill the Great Commission. We're called to go out and preach the gospel in the highways and the byways, compelling men and women and boys and girls to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a problem, Pastor. It's an urgent request, but not an urgent response. There's an urgent request, but not an urgent response. In other words, God is calling us now to go out and do the work and fulfill the needs, but there's not an urgent reply from the church. God has given us a sense of urgency that life and death is on the balance there. But we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not going out and touching the lost. We're just sitting in these nice, pretty purple chairs and folding our arms and doing nothing like everything is okay. This is not a time to sit. It's a time to go out and do the work of the Lord. We don't have time to sit. We got to go out and do what God has called us to do. It's a sense of urgency. The harvest is ripening. The harvest is ripe. And all of us know about gardening. If it's ripe, you got to go get it. You got to go pick it. You got to go get it off the tree. You got to go get it out of the ground. It's now ready to be caught. And that's what we got to do. That's potential for work to do. Jesus said in John chapter 4, the disciples urged him to eat. And he told them, I got food to eat. My food, my source comes from a different source. And everybody was wondering, did anybody bring him something to eat? And Jesus said, no. Your source and your substance comes from a different source. The Holy Spirit will give you all you need to go out and make a difference. if you want to go reach the harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the Father had given him all to do. He wasn't worried about physical needs. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was not worried about the things of this world. All he wanted to do is just make a difference. And that's what we ought to be about, the church. We ought to want to make a difference. We ought to want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing is, we see there's potential for work. But there's a problem, Pastor. It's a problem, church. Say we got a problem. There's few workers. There's few workers. There's not enough hands to do the work that we got to get done. There's not enough hands to do the work we got to get done. As I tell them at the Marble Top Church, I've been a part of three churches in my life and only pastored one. But all of them got the same common thing. Not enough workers to do the work. A few people do all the work in the church. I ain't been here in 5 years, but I'm pretty sure the same workers are doing the same thing. Amen. Amen. Lights. April going to start to call up. I'm about ready to run. I come and get my Bible next week. There's not enough workers to do the work. But there's enough people. Let us want to discuss some money. Let us have a members meeting. Let us have a members meeting. Let us discuss some money. We could pack the place out. But let us talk about evangelism training, Brother Griggs. And we can't get five people here to go out and do evangelism. The problem is there's not enough workers. Everybody want to send their kids to children's church, but nobody want to go volunteer at children's church. Ooh, it's getting tight. Can we just change the words of JFK? He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Can I just say, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Ask what you can do for your church. Ask what you can put into your church to make it better. Ask what you can do to make the load lighter. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the mothers. It's not the deacons. Not the elders. It's everybody's work, because the God has called everybody to the work. And that's a problem. There's a problem. There's not enough workers. As I said, the game that we playing is not a game you can sit on the sideline. We got to get everybody on the game. We got to get five players on the floor. Because we got to play offense and defense to get the schemes and the tactics of the devil. We got to get five people on the field, on the court, to make sure we can offset what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to attack the schemes of what God is trying to do. So we got to make sure we can counteract that. We got to get everybody on the field doing the same thing what God has called them to do in order for the church to move. There's few workers. In Luke's account, in Luke chapter 10, he had called the 12, but then he got 70 more. We gotta get people. We gotta invest in people. We gotta disciple people. We gotta grow this thing, because we'll get tired. We gotta get more people helping us do the work. There's a problem. I think so many of us, another reason why the church is not effective like it should be, I think the church has come so immune to sin, they don't care no more. The church has come so immune to sin, they don't care no more. The church has put on blinders. We don't want to see anything no more. We just want to come here, sit in our purple chair, and go back to our house like everything is okay. But we got to see things the way Jesus seen it. That's a problem. Church needs to be about spreading the gospel. We need to hear and touch people. But also, there's few workers to do the work of the ministry. There's not enough workers to do the work. There's always somebody we can reach. There's always a Zacchaeus. There's always a lady at the well. There's always a Mary Magdalene. There's always a legion that we need to share the gospel with. There's always somebody that we need to go out and reach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, that there's no other verse in the Bible that pierced his heart like this verse. There's no other verse in the Bible that burden him like verse number 38. We need to be burdened that same type of way about the lost. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send our workers into the harvest. So what do we do to fix the problem? I told you there's a problem, not enough workers. I told you there's potential for work to do. I told you we need to have passion about the lost. But what do we do to fix the problem? Do we come in here and meet about it? Do we love to have meetings in the church? Do we come in and discuss it? Do we let the eyes have it? No. Do we table to the next meeting? No. What do we do? We pray about it. We pray about it. We pray. How many of you know the prayer still works? Amen. How many know prayer still works? Remember, Peter then was in jail. And they prayed about it. What happened? They were released from prison. We got to pray about it. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers for the vineyard. We got to come here and fall on our faces and seek the Lord. We got to add petition heaven and say, Lord, send more workers. And many of us, another reason why many of us don't work in the church, because we feel like we got to have it all together. No, that's not it. God doesn't look at what you bring to the table. He just looks for your availability. He just looks for your availability. He used 12 common men, fishermen, tax collectors to do a work. And they turned the world upside down. So sure, he can use us as common people, but we got to pray. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face. If we just get on our face and pray. Lord, we need more workers. Lord, we want to make a difference here in East Chattanooga. We want to make a difference right here around this church. We got to pray about it. We got to pray. We got to pray that God would change and touch the hearts of those who are just sitting on the sideline and tell them to get in the game. We got to ask God to touch those who are standing around the walls that we can make a difference in the community. Because God has given all of us a talent. God has given all of us talents. God has given all of us talents. Amen. And I know all of y'all had a spiritual gift survey because I was here. God has given all of us talent. He's called all of us to do something. We need to pray to God, what are you calling me to? Why do you have me here at Love Fellowship? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to make a difference at? What ministry you want me to be a part of? What ministry you want me to help start? You need to pray to the Lord for guidance, and the Lord will give you guidance. The Lord will give you guidance. There's too much work to be done. As we look at the work around our community, we need to be praying. How can we move our crime out of our community? We need to be praying, Lord, how can we make a difference in Hardy? How can we make a difference in Achenaw Middle and Elementary? How can we make a difference? What resources can we do? I know we don't have a big budget like some of the biggest churches in town, but we serve a God. We serve a God who owns everything. That the earth is the Lord. We serve a God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. We serve a God that has all the resources. He's just waiting to pour it down into this church. But all we got to do is ask God to send it, and he will send it. We need to believe God by faith. All we got to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things be added unto us. All we got to do is ask God. There's a sense of urgency. Just think back on your own life. How you were lost on your way to hell. Think back on your own life. How you was sinking deep into sin. Think back on your own life. How God pulled you up out of the muck and the miry clay. I know we forgot our testimony, but it's all good. But the Lord has called all of us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And God has used all of our testimonies to go out and make a difference. God used all of our testimonies to go out and touch somebody's life. I got somebody who was a single mother that you can use that to go minister to some single mother. I got somebody who used to be an alcoholic, who go out and minister to somebody who was an alcoholic. I got somebody in this house that used to be a crackhead on drugs, but God can use that to be your misery into your ministry. There's work to do. Pray to the Lord for guidance. Pray to the Lord how he can use you to make a difference. How you can go out and spread the gospel. Pray for the petition. Pray God for instructions and guidance to make a difference. Pray to God that he will help you to go out and meet the Samaritan woman of this community. You know what happened to her, right? She met Jesus. And she ran and told somebody, come see a man. There's some Philip that's standing out there on Roanoke, just waiting for somebody to come and instruct them. There's some Zacchaeus that's waiting for somebody to come and to tell them about their life. All we got to do is ask God to give us opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But hey, there's a problem. The walls are down. We got to have some Nehemiahs to help to build this community. Nehemiah didn't want to come down until the work was completed. Love Fellowship, we can't sit down until the work is completed. We can't sit down until the work is completed. We got to help fix the walls in this community. We got to help fix the walls in this community. We got to help touch those who need to be touched. We got to make a difference where we can make a difference. Now quit waiting on the government to fix it. Quit waiting on the government to fix it. God has called the church. He has called the church to make a difference. A story was told of a young man walking down the beach. He was walking down the beach just throwing starfishes back into the ocean. And an old man asked him, what are you doing, son? You've been going miles and miles throwing these things back into the ocean. And the young man said, if I could just save one life, I've done something. If I could just save one life, I have done something. Love Fellowship, we don't have to change everybody. We don't have to change everybody. We can just touch one life. We can just touch one life, we have done something. If we can just make one difference in one life in this community, we have done something. We can just change one block, we have done something. If we can just touch one person that's on their way to hell and change their direction to heaven, we have done something. But do you have that same burden for the lost like Jesus did? Are you burdened for those who need to hear the good news? Well, there's work to do. There's potential. That's passion. And that's a problem. We need to ask God. You need to go home and look in the mirror and say, God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Well, we need to do it the way Jesus did. Jesus saw a problem. In Genesis chapter 3, he saw that man had failed and messed up. And he promised that he was going to send one that was going to crush Satan's head. He was going to send one by the lineage of David. He promised no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the promise that they were looking for, the Messiah. He was going to come by way of the Virgin Mary. He's the one who Isaiah said, she shall behold a child. And she called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, the Bible in Matthew said that he came by way of 42 generations. He humbled himself. He compacted himself. He left glory. He took off everything, his royalty, and came down to suffer, bled, and died. He came, my brothers and my sisters, but there was a problem. He came that man was on their way to hell. We was all on our way to hell. He knew there was a sense of urgency, so he came. Came to give sight to the blind. Came to stop unmuted ears. He came to heal those who are in need of healing. And the Bible said one Friday, a sense of urgency. He went up on a hill called Calvary. He went up on a hill called Calvary. He went up on a hill called Calvary. The choir just sung about it. They stretched him wide. Amen. They stretched him wide. They put nails in his hands and spikes in his feet. Pierced him in his side. They gave him a crown of thorns for you and me. But the Bible said they placed him in the tomb. He hung out there for 3 days and three nights. But early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Got up early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. They placed him in a borrowed tomb because he was going to give it back on Sunday morning. He stepped out of the grave, folded his grave clothes. He didn't need them no more. Walked the earth for 40 more days. The saints of old got up with him. But he got on up out of here. He ascended up into heaven. And right now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of us. Telling us that there's work to be done. There's work that needs to be done. There's a great harvest field right in East Chattanooga. And I've called all y'all to do it. He said, get busy because I'm on my way back. He said, get busy because I'm on my way back. Get busy because I'm on my way back. And you will not be caught with your work undone. If the old saint said, work while there's light because night is coming. Night is coming, my brothers and my sisters. There is work to be done. We're in this community. We're about to celebrate our 20th anniversary. Many churches don't make it 20 years. Many churches closing every year. Thousands of churches close their doors each month, Pastor. But for 20 years, God has sustained Love Fellowship. He has sustained us to be the beacon of light, the place of hope, the place of grace here in East Chattanooga. We got to take advantage of the opportunities. Help is one. Pray that many of us are answering this urgent call. But there's work to do. There's passion. There's potential. There's a problem. But we need to pray the Lord for solutions. How can we make a difference? Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done.